You know, it's funny how something can seem so simple at first glance, but then you start digging a little deeper and you realize, whoa, this is complicated. That's exactly what we're dealing with today as we take a deep dive into the use of corporal punishment in U.S. schools. And to make things even more, well, interesting, we're focusing specifically on how this practice impacts students with disabilities.
And to add another layer to this whole thing, we're going to be looking at it through the lens of an article by an Austrian author, someone who's looking at this very American debate from the outside in. It's a really fascinating perspective.
Right. Talk about seeing things in a new light. And as if that wasn't enough, get this. We're also going to be unpacking how a biblical proverb somehow ended up at the center of this modern policy battle.
You really can't make this stuff up. It's like, how did we even get here?
Seriously. So where do we even begin? Well, the impetus for this whole deep dive was a situation that unfolded in Oklahoma earlier this year. They tried to ban corporal punishment for students with disabilities in public schools, and it actually failed.
Yeah, that's what really got people talking, and not in a good way. It raised so many questions about how this practice is even legal in this day and age.
Exactly. And it gets even more complicated when you realize that while the Federal Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, or IDEA, guarantees a free and appropriate education for all students with disabilities, it doesn't actually say anything about corporal punishment being prohibited. So basically, it's up to the individual states to decide.
And that's how you end up with this crazy patchwork of laws across the U.S., where in some states it's perfectly legal to physically punish students, while in others it's strictly forbidden.
It's mind-boggling when you think about it. I mean, we're talking about 19 states that still allow corporal punishment in schools, which is pretty shocking when you consider how other developed countries have moved away from this practice entirely.
Yeah, it's definitely a black mark for the U.S. when you look at it from a global perspective.
Absolutely. And just to give you a sense of the scope of this issue, the U.S. Department of Education reported that in the 2017-2018 school year alone, almost 70,000 students were subjected to corporal punishment. That's just one school year. And we know that those numbers are likely even higher due to underreporting.
Oh, absolutely. Underreporting is a huge problem in these cases. So that number is probably just the tip of the iceberg.
It's a really disturbing thought. And the worst part is it's not evenly distributed. This practice disproportionately impacts boys, black students, and you guessed it, students with disabilities.
It's a huge issue, and it really makes you question how we got here.
It really does. So before we go any further, let's make sure we're all on the same page about what we mean by corporal punishment. We're not talking about a gentle tap on the shoulder here. In Oklahoma, the legal definition is intentional infliction of physical pain.
So hitting, paddling, spanking, anything that causes physical pain as a disciplinary measure is fair game.
It's pretty intense when you put it like that. And here's where it gets even trickier. Oklahoma law actually prohibits corporal punishment for students with significant cognitive disabilities. But, and this is a big but, parents can sign a waiver allowing it.
Yeah, that waiver throws a real wrench in things. It essentially creates this loophole where even though the law is trying to protect these students, their parents can override that protection.
So even though it's against the law in some cases, parents can essentially give schools permission to inflict physical pain on their children with disabilities in the name of discipline.
Exactly. And that's where the whole religion and policy thing comes into play, which is a whole other can of worms.
And that's where our Austrian author comes in. He highlights this one moment during the Oklahoma legislative debate that is just, well, listen for yourself. This was a Republican lawmaker defending corporal punishment. He actually quotes Proverbs 29.15 from the Bible, which says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother."
It's really something else hearing that in the context of a modern policy debate.
I know, right? It's like something out of another time. But that's the thing with these ancient texts. They require so much context.
Absolutely. Taking something written thousands of years ago and applying it literally to today's world, especially when it comes to something as sensitive as corporal punishment for children with disabilities, is just, well, it's problematic, to say the least.
Right. And it's not just about ancient texts either. The article also mentions another lawmaker, also a Republican, who talked about a constituent who claimed their child with disabilities actually responded better to physical discipline than to positive reinforcement.
And that's where things get really concerning.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about decades of research on child development, trauma, effective educational practices, especially for kids with disabilities. And then we're just going to disregard all of that because of a few anecdotes and personal beliefs. It doesn't really add up.
Yeah, it seems like a dangerous game to play, pitting personal experience against scientific evidence, especially when it comes to something as serious as how we treat children. Now, before we get into the potential consequences of corporal punishment, let's talk a bit more about those significant cognitive disabilities that Oklahoma law, at least on paper, tries to protect. What exactly does that mean?
Right, because it's one thing to say cognitive disabilities, but it's a whole other thing to define what that actually means in practice. We're talking about conditions like intellectual disabilities, autism spectrum disorders, and traumatic brain injuries, just to name a few.
So conditions that can have a real impact on a student's ability to understand and respond to things like social cues, traditional discipline, or even their own behavior.
Exactly. And when you think about it, those are the very kids who might be most vulnerable to misinterpreting situations or struggling to communicate their needs, which makes the idea of using physical punishment even more troubling.
It's like we're creating a system where we're essentially punishing kids for having disabilities, which just seems completely counterintuitive to what education should be all about.
Right. It's like instead of providing extra support and understanding to those who need it most, we're resorting to methods that could potentially do more harm than good.
It's a difficult reality to grapple with, and it leads to more questions than answers, like how informed are parents when they sign that waiver? Do they fully understand the potential long-term consequences of corporal punishment, especially for children who might not be able to advocate for themselves?
It's a question of informed consent, really. Are parents getting all the facts, all the latest research, all the potential risks and benefits? Or are they making decisions based on outdated information or societal pressures?
It's a lot to unpack, for sure, and it speaks to this broader debate we're having as a society about how we discipline children, especially those with disabilities. It's like we're stuck between these traditional ideas about discipline and what we're learning about child development and the importance of trauma-informed care.
And that's a really important point, trauma-informed care, because it's not just about discipline, it's about creating a learning environment where every child feels safe, respected, and supported.
So instead of asking, what's wrong with this child, we're asking, what happened to this child, and how can we best support them?
Precisely. It's a complete shift in perspective, and it has huge implications for how we approach education, especially for students with disabilities. We'll dive more into that after the break.
So before the break, we were talking about trauma-informed care, and I'm really curious to hear more about what that actually looks like in practice.
Yeah, it's a big shift from the way we traditionally think about discipline, that's for sure. And it's not just the World Health Organization that's raising red flags about corporal punishment either. There's a ton of research out there showing that kids who are subjected to this kind of punishment, especially those with disabilities, are at a much higher risk of developing mental health issues later on.
Mental health issues like what? Can you give us some specifics?
Sure, we're talking about things like anxiety, depression, even PTSD in some cases. It's pretty serious stuff.
Wow, that's heartbreaking. These kids are already facing so many challenges because of their disabilities, and then to add on the burden of trauma and mental health issues stemming from physical punishment, it just seems so unfair.
I know, it's tough to think about. And it's important to remember that these kids aren't inherently more difficult or deserving of harsher discipline. A lot of times, their behaviors are directly related to their disabilities. You know, like maybe they're having trouble communicating their needs or they're having a sensory overload.
So instead of punishing them, we should be trying to understand what's going on and provide them with the support they need to navigate those challenges.
Exactly. And that's where positive reinforcement comes in. Instead of focusing on punishing the bad behavior, we focus on rewarding the good behavior. And we try to create an environment where they feel safe and respected, so they're more likely to make positive choices in the first place.
So it's about encouragement and praise, not fear and pain.
100%. We're talking about decades of research that shows positive reinforcement is a way more effective and humane way to approach discipline, especially for kids with disabilities. It just makes sense, right?
Yeah, I mean, intuitively, it just feels like it would be more effective to focus on building kids up rather than tearing them down.
Right. Like when kids feel good about themselves and their environment, they're more likely to engage in positive behaviors, which then leads to more positive reinforcement and so on. It's like this positive feedback loop.
It's like that old saying, catch more flies with honey than with vinegar.
Exactly. Okay, but now let's bring it back to that Oklahoma case and the lawmaker who quoted the Bible to justify corporal punishment. How do we reconcile those kinds of beliefs, which are often rooted in tradition and faith, with what we know about child development and the importance of treating all children, especially those with disabilities, with respect and dignity? It's a tough one.
It really is. And it feels like this debate goes way beyond just corporal punishment. It's like this bigger question about how we navigate the tension between deeply held beliefs and evolving social norms.
That's a really insightful way to put it. It's something we grapple with all the time, right? As we learn more about the world and ourselves, we're constantly challenged to re-examine what we believe and why. And sometimes that means letting go of old ideas that no longer serve us.
And that can be really hard, especially when those beliefs are tied to things like faith, family, or cultural identity. It can feel like you're betraying a part of yourself or your community.
Right. Exactly. And it's not easy to challenge the status quo, especially when it comes to something as deeply personal as how we raise our children. But that's exactly what we need to do if we want to create a more just and compassionate society for everyone, especially the most vulnerable among us.
It's about progress, not perfection, right? We're not always going to get it right, but as long as we're moving in the direction of greater understanding and empathy, I think we're on the right track.
I totally agree. And that starts with having these difficult conversations, being willing to listen to different perspectives, and always, always prioritizing the well-being of children above all else.
Okay, so we've talked about the potential negative consequences of corporal punishment, but let's zoom out for a second. What about the ethical implications here? What does it say about us as a society that we're still even having this debate in 2024?
It's a tough pill to swallow, right? I mean, on the one hand, it's great that we're having this conversation at all. It shows that we're evolving, that we're questioning old paradigms. But on the other hand, the fact that corporal punishment is still legal in so many places, especially for a population as vulnerable as students with disabilities, is deeply troubling, to say the least.
It really makes you wonder whose interests are actually being served by these policies.
Exactly. And it all comes down to how we view children. Do we see them as autonomous individuals deserving of respect and dignity? Or do we see them as inherently disobedient creatures who need to be controlled through fear and punishment? Our answer to that question has profound implications for how we choose to educate and discipline.
It's like that quote, "The true measure of any society can be found in how it treats its most vulnerable members." And right now, I'm not sure we're doing so well on that front.
Yeah, I hear you. It's a wake-up call for sure. But it's not all doom and gloom. There are a lot of amazing educators, advocates, and policymakers out there who are fighting tirelessly for change, who believe in a different way forward.
And it's important to highlight those positive examples, those success stories, because they can inspire hope and motivate others to join the movement for change.
Absolutely. It's not about shaming or blaming. It's about raising awareness, having honest conversations, and working together to create a better future for all kids.
You know, it feels like we could spend hours unpacking this issue and still only be scratching the surface. There's just so much to consider.
I know, right? It's like every time we peel back a layer, we uncover a whole new set of complexities.
Exactly. And I keep thinking about something you said earlier about listening to the voices of those most impacted by these policies. We've talked a lot about the research, the legal stuff, the cultural context, but we haven't really talked about how students themselves experience corporal punishment.
That's a really important point. We can't forget about the human side of this issue. These aren't just statistics or case studies. They're real children with real feelings.
Right. And their experiences and perspectives are crucial to understanding the full impact of this practice. I mean, how do they feel about being physically punished by the adults in their lives? How does it affect their self-esteem, their relationships, their view of school and learning?
Exactly. And for students with disabilities, who might already be struggling to navigate a world that doesn't always understand or accommodate their needs, the experience of corporal punishment could be even more confusing and traumatic.
It's a lot to process, and I'll admit I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed by the weight of it all.
I get it. It's heavy stuff, for sure. But it's important not to let the weight of the problem paralyze us into inaction.
That's a good point. So as we wrap up this deep dive, where do we go from here? What can we do as individuals and as a society to create a more humane and just approach to discipline, one that truly honors the dignity and potential of all children?
Well, for starters, I think it's about education. We need to keep talking about this issue, raising awareness, and challenging those outdated beliefs that are holding us back.
And we need to do a better job of listening to and amplifying the voices of those most impacted by these policies. Let's hear from the students themselves, from the parents who are struggling, from the educators who are on the front lines trying to create positive change.
Yes, 1,000 times yes. Their stories are powerful, and they deserve to be heard. And on a practical level, we need to be advocating for policies that support positive and effective alternatives to corporal punishment.
like trauma-informed care, restorative justice, positive behavior interventions and supports. Things that address the root causes of challenging behaviors rather than just trying to punish them away.
Exactly. There are so many evidence-based approaches out there that have been proven to work, but we need to be willing to invest in them and implement them consistently.
It's about shifting from a punitive mindset to one of support and understanding. It's about seeing every child as an individual deserving of our respect, our compassion, and our unwavering belief in their potential.
Beautifully said. And I know it sounds idealistic, but I truly believe we can create a world where every child feels safe, valued, and empowered to thrive. It's going to take all of us working together, but it's a future worth fighting for.
Absolutely. So to everyone listening, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope it sparked some important conversations and inspired you to take action in your own communities. Remember, change starts with each and every one of us.